The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, and there's nobody, absolutely nobody, I'd rather be hosting with today than Israel Gutierrez.
So Mina wasn't available?
See, that's not right. She taunted me throughout the entire show yesterday. That's why we have you here. No taunting allowed. Just like the NFL, you get a 15-yard penalty for that.
Still the second choice, though. Still second choice.
You're on the medal stand. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Oh, man. Welcome to PTI, everyone. Mike and Tony have the day off, so I'm pleased to be joined by my great friend from around the horn, highly questionable, the NBA and ESPN, and a well-known shirtless pictorial in Men's Journal magazine, the one and only Israel Gutierrez. There you go.
Never going to live that one down.
Hey, at least he's wearing clothes today. That's good. All right, let's start with the Mets responding to owner Steve Cohen's criticism with a big win. Yesterday morning, Cohen tweeted about his slumping team, quote, "It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive." The Mets then went out and snapped their five-game losing streak by beating the league-best Giants 6-2 in 12 innings. Manager Luis Rojas said afterwards, "The message was sent, and we got it." So, Izzy, does Steve Cohen deserve credit for his team's win?
Well, the message was sent, but apparently the wireless wasn't very good in the building because they didn't seem to get it until like the ninth inning when they scored a run and really didn't have like an explosive inning until the 12th to get this win. Look, I'm not ready to give Steve Cohen credit here because if we start doing that with owners just getting real intrusive and tweeting, then we're going to have every single owner of every slumping team out there just going crazy on the Twitter machine and saying, hey, that helped my team. Look, I do think that if you look at where the Mets are in the standings, they do need a bit of a boost, right? They're 4.5 back in their division, and maybe something could be the reason that they look at as to why they got a boost here, you know, going forward. But man, this can't possibly be it because he's been trying different things as in the previous weeks. But what, this one landed and this is the reason this offense has woken up? If I'm Steve Cohen, I'm looking at Rojas here and saying, hey, why do we need all these coaches if my tweet's the one that's supposed to wake up the offense?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, I covered the Mets for 2 years. And as you know, the baseball season, it drags on forever. So in August, if I have something easy to write about, like an owner tweeting about the team, I'm saying thank you, Steve Cohen, for doing it. It's an easy day at the office. But Kevin Pillar, who hit the big three-run home run in the 12th, he said it best. Yeah, it was a topic of discussion among the players. And you know what the players were probably saying privately? What is our owner doing? He's acting like a fanboy calling a radio show saying, you know, what are they doing? They need to hit better. Everyone knows that. And to your point, all right, so he tweets this out. So when did it inspire the team exactly? The sixth inning, that's when they had their second hit. The ninth inning is when they scored their first run. They blow a save in the 11th, and then in the 12th inning, they finally have a breakthrough against a terrific team. The Mets had been very good all season long up until the last month. The law of averages are they're a good team. They're going to snap out of it. Michael Conforto, who has struggled this year, he had a couple of big hits. Izzy, it had nothing to do with the tweet. It was just a matter of time before the Mets finally snapped out of it.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, which owner in history, is it Jerry Jones? Which one do we applaud for being this guy, right, for doing everything publicly? If you want to say these things privately, if they take you seriously, say it privately, but don't tell me a tweet worked.
Yeah, well, he should do this. He should tweet before the Dodgers series because they're going to face Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, and David Price. Good luck with that one.
Right. For every game.
Exactly.
Well, we had two pitchers get ejected in baseball last night. Umpires gave Diamondbacks reliever Caleb Smith the boot and confiscated his glove after finding a couple of suspicious spots that Smith says were dirt. And White Sox starter Lance Lynn got tossed after tossing his belt at an umpire who wanted to check it for foreign substances. Frank, did both men deserve their ejections?
You know what? I think they did. And I like Lynn because he's an emotional guy. He was upset that he didn't get to start the All-Star game. I think they picked Shohei Ohtani, which was a pretty good choice. Lance Lynn did get to start the Field of Dreams game last week. It's his belt. I get it. He's upset, but you're going to get tossed for that. As for Caleb Smith, here's a guy that pitched two and a third innings. He only gave up one run. He had a terrific outing. But guess what? When they spot something on your glove, you're going to get ejected. And I actually think this is working for Major League Baseball. There's only been one guy suspended, and they're checking all the time. So it's working. They see it on there. They send it to New York. And if the league office says, yes, there's a foreign substance, that's a 10-game suspension. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, was it working for Caleb Smith? Because he got checked in the sixth and was cleared. And then in the eighth, gives up a home run. Oh, all of a sudden has a sticky substance. So it didn't really work for him there, did it? I do think it's interesting, and a lot of people don't know that, Frank, that you do get a 10-game suspension or a 10-game, this player will be gone for 10 games, and you cannot replace him on the roster. So if this was a team outside of, you know, the Diamondbacks, maybe somebody in contention, it would be a bigger deal here. The Lynn one was interesting because, I mean, this is where you start getting into, the, you know, the umpire's feelings and whatnot. He was late to check for him, so Lynn left his hat and his glove and didn't get the belt, and he just tossed the belt dismissively at the umpire, and you're going to get in trouble for that. But it just makes me wonder if all of this is really worth it, right? You're going to have him ejected. You're going to have Caleb Smith have to go through this whole interrogation and figure out, or not interrogation, investigation, to figure out if it was sticky substance on his gloves. And is this really making baseball better? I saw The Ringer did something about a month into this whole project and said, yeah, it was sort of indecipherable whether offenses have gotten better. Spin rate was down, but were offenses better?
That was the goal, though.
If you're not going to make the game a lot more fun, what's the point?
Yeah, that was the goal, to get the spin rate down, get offense up a little bit. You know, my thing, what's interesting about it, Phil Cuzzi's the umpire that ejected him. There's been one player suspended 10 games. Hector Santiago of the Mariners, the umpire that threw him out, that happened to be Phil Cuzzi. But remember this, too. And we're going through this with the NFL, with the taunting penalty. It's a point of emphasis. It's something that they want the players to know about so it will deter them from doing it. I think this is the same thing that's happening with baseball, with putting foreign substance on the glove. I actually think it's working, Izzy. I really do. All right. Let's move on to the NBA, where Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are on the same page nearly 3 years after they clearly weren't. You may remember that the then-Warrior teammates argued on the court, then in the locker room, after an overtime loss to the Clippers in November of 2018. Well, on Green's new series, Chips, both players blame, get this, Coach Steve Kerr and GM Bob Myers for mishandling the situation by suspending Draymond for one game instead of letting the players work it out. Do you agree, Izzy?
Absolutely not. I can't stop laughing at the name of his podcast, by the way. California Highway Patrol, maybe an old TV show. Anybody remember that? Maybe I'm just old. So look, this one's confusing to me, Frank, and I'm not sure if it is to you here. I've been hearing people talk about this all day long, and I just wonder, like, what is, it just reminds me of, you know, two young adults whose lives have gone awry, and they just blame their parents for everything, for making mistakes that they didn't even know they made, because what is the playbook for that when two of your stars are just going at each other, kind of lose their minds on the court, and then, you know, you pick one, you suspend the guy, Draymond Green, and you just hope that they fix that amongst themselves. But to take the blame away from yourself, Draymond Green, is kind of confusing here, because at the time, it seemed like everybody was blaming him. And it is interesting, this whole big picture of what Draymond's doing. It's sort of like he's living in his legacy these days. You would think he's retired. He's over here on TNT doing studio shows. He's doing all these, starting a podcast, having this retrospective. It seems like he's rewriting his own history at the time, or right now, because I think we all remember how it looked.
Yep, you're right. And let's also remember this. They just spent a month together with the national team in both Las Vegas and Japan. So they must have talked about this a lot. And I get it. Draymond Green has taken a lot of heat for Kevin Durant leaving, which I think is unfair. That was Kevin Durant's choice. Kevin Durant has taken criticism for leaving. But guess what? That is his choice. But let's go back. This happened on November 12th of 2018. You and I were living in the NBA. On November 11th, a lot of people thought the two of them, not the two of them, Kevin Durant was going to be leaving, and that he was going to team up with Kyrie Irving and maybe go to New York. At the time, it was the Knicks. That's what happened. And also, this happened so early in the season that this didn't change anything. Kevin Durant was going to leave. He ended up leaving. And Izzy, here's the other part, too. Kevin Durant mentioned, look at the Chicago Bulls, the way they handled it with Scottie Pippen, and they went right up to him as a team. That was a playoff game. This is a November game at the beginning of a season when you guys are just coming off of two championships. Was it really the responsibility of Steph Curry? Was it the responsibility of Steve Kerr? And by the way, Bob Myers did handle it. That's his job to handle it.
And I'd like to hear Steph Curry's view on this, because if we're talking about Jordan and Pippen, Draymond is not one of those two in this equation. And it's almost as if Draymond doesn't think he's going back to Golden State to face Steve Kerr, to face Bob Myers and his other teammates for, you know, discussing this and bringing up old stuff and now having to do it all over again. I don't know if that relationship is very healthy right now.
I don't understand. So they're upset that the team didn't step in, the actual players, as if like Andre Iguodala and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are thinking, guys, it's November. We just won two titles. What are you guys like fighting for? By the way, if Kevin Durant is healthy, they would have won a championship. So Steve Kerr doesn't get involved because it's the job of the general manager. He did step in, and then they're upset with him for stepping in. All these years later, it still doesn't make any
sense. Call it the Spilled Milk Podcast.
There you go. All right, let's take a break. But coming up, two former Alabama quarterbacks face each other in the preseason tonight. Which one is more intriguing?
And was Shohei's pitching performance last night a bigger deal than his 48th home run?
If he doesn't hit a home run today, he should blame Bob Myers. That should be everyone's go-to move. Bob Myers is to blame.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for Toss Up. This is the game where we're given two choices, and of course, I pick the right one. What do we got first?
Toss Up, which former Alabama quarterback are you more intrigued by tonight? Mac Jones or Jalen Hurts?
Believe it or not, Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts were both teammates for a minute there at Alabama. Of course, Jalen Hurts finished up at Oklahoma, and now he's on Philadelphia. New head coach Nick Sirianni. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts for this reason. In his second year, a lot of people think he's going to make that big jump, kind of like what Lamar Jackson made, what Josh Allen made. And he's been a guy, all we've been hearing from his teammates, he's going around quizzing everyone while they're in the hot tub, when they're getting lunch, about plays and things like that. This is a big moment for him because during the offseason, Izzy, there was a lot of talk that they were going to go out and try to sign a veteran quarterback or trade for one, including Deshaun Watson. So I think for Jalen Hurts, he has a lot to prove tonight.
I would pump those brakes a little bit. Like, don't bring up Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen just yet. We need to see the leap first before we can put them in that category. The thing about Jalen Hurts is interesting. Yeah, you do want to see if he's going to make that leap, right? Probably going to have the entire regular season to see it. It's not like there's a quarterback competition there. His biggest issue is probably throwing in the pocket, being comfortable in there. And if you see that during this game, great. But if you don't, you're probably going to see it again in the regular season. With Mac Jones, on the other hand, this is a real quarterback competition that's going on in New England. And it seems like, depending on when you check in, one is ahead of the other. It seems like right now Cam is ahead after a couple of practices against the Eagles and going into this game. It seemed like, you know, more maturity and more sort of expertise there at the goal line and, frankly, more options because he's a bigger body. But Mac Jones has looked good. And if he wins this, even if he doesn't win it right off the bat, everything you're hearing is he might take this thing within the first month, the Patriots starting quarterback gig. And that would be interesting with Belichick's kind of real successor to Tom Brady.
I think Cam Newton is starting. Who do you think starts the season as the Patriots quarterback?
I think Cam starts game one, but I don't know about game three or four.
Yeah. By the way, Jalen Hurts last year, 4 starts, was 1-3. He only completed 52% of his passes. All right, what do we got next?
Toss up, what was more impressive last night? Shohei's 40th home run or his 8 innings on the mound?
Well, he is the best Shohei in baseball. Get it, Izzy? And what he did last night is unbelievable. To hit your 40th home run, but he went 8 innings. That's a career high for him. And after hitting the home run, That's when he finished off the eighth inning, and his final pitch of the night was 98 miles per hour, gave him his eighth strikeout. And how about this for Shohei Ohtani, who is obviously going to be the MVP in baseball in the American League. Here's a guy that is averaging 10.8 strikeouts per nine innings. That's the best in Angels history. You know who used to pitch for the Angels? Nolan Ryan. So on a night where they're talking about him and Babe Ruth, you could also put him and Nolan Ryan in the same class. That's pretty good company.
How many times you practiced that Shohei joke, Frank? Don't know if it landed that great. Look, and
thank
Jeff
you.
Passan will tell you, by the way, stop comparing him to Babe Ruth, because not even Babe Ruth has done this. Like, there's nobody that has done what he is doing. But if you ask me for which one's more impressive, I'm going to take the home run, and here's why. He had a one-run lead after pitching those eight innings. And he said to himself, you know what's going to be the best thing for me here? A little insurance run. And he just got it himself. I mean, you think about all the things that he has done, not only just this year, but you talk about the All-Star game, you talk about whatever appearances he's had. He looks now like he's getting stronger as the season goes along with, what, 6 and 6.5 weeks left. It's a shame we're not going to see him in the postseason, but, man, if he could continue this in this season, you could just imagine that if, you know, he continues to grow into his body and continues to just develop, like, he's going to be able to do this all season long without any issue. And like I said, there is no comp for this guy.
Yeah, this was a great night for baseball in Detroit because the fans had filled the place up. They want to see Shohei Ohtani pitch, but also Miguel Cabrera was going for home run number 500. They got to face each other a bunch of times. Here's a couple of interesting things. That's only his third home run in the month of August, but 40 home runs is the most by any left-hander in Angels history. Remember, Reggie Jackson used to play for the Angels. Pretty cool. All right, that's it. Good effort, Izzy. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Aaron Rodgers is clear on what he doesn't want this season to be.
And Bears fans get some good news about Justin Fields.
So now, do you understand the show? Hey, get it? Show? You understand the show?
I mean,
come on, man. He's worth the price of admission. That's for sure.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's happy time, everyone. Happy 61st birthday, Ron Darling. The most famous Yale baseball player not named George H. Bush is also a favorite of the two gentlemen who usually sit in these chairs. Darling, whose work as a television analyst with SNY in New York, MLB Network, and Turner, it's top-notch, won 136 games for three teams over 13 major league seasons. But he's best known as the cerebral right-hander for the iconic 1986 New York Mets, who won the World Series by beating the Red Sox in seven games. Darling, who attended St. John's High School in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, allowed just three home runs over 17 and two-thirds innings in the 86 World Series, and he won Game 4 at Fenway Park. In 2019, Darling announced he had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, yet returned to the booth a month later, and is as strong and as wise as ever. On a personal note, I've played pickup basketball with Ron. He's a beast on the court. And unlike Izzy, he actually passes the basketball.
First of all, Frank, if you can shoot it like I can, there's no need to pass it. And second of all, speaking of darlings, happy birthday to my darling niece, Ariella Willis. Remember that name. She's going to be
smart. That's lovely. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary, Charles Barkley. On this day, 25 years ago, the Phoenix Suns traded their former MVP forward, along with a second-round pick, to the Houston Rockets for Robert Horry, Sam Cassell, Chucky Brown, and Mark Bryant. Barkley, a 10-time All-Star when he was dealt, had demanded a trade since he learned that the Suns were interested in dealing him. At the time, Sir Charles said, "I initially wanted to finish my career in Phoenix, but I told them if they were going to shop me, I would never play there again." Now, Barkley's debut in Houston was delayed. He was suspended for the Rockets season opener after getting in a preseason brawl with the Knicks' Charles Oakley. Wait for it. I was at that game. Barkley's first season in Houston ended with John Stockton hitting a last-second jumper to send the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals. In fact, in Barkley's final two seasons in the NBA, he and the Rockets failed to get out of the first round.
It's one of those reminders, Frank, that, you know, Barkley seems to not like the super team, but that team in Houston he tried to put together, kind of super teamish.
That's right. And remember, they were always butting heads, those guys, him, Scottie Pippen, Hakeem. Happy trails to a farewell tour for Aaron Rodgers. The MVP quarterback and part-time Jeopardy host told reporters that he doesn't want 2021 to be treated like a Green Bay Packers farewell tour. I'm also good with not making every NFL Sunday about Aaron Rodgers, since that's what we did every single day during the offseason. Plus, the NFL, they don't do farewell tours. That's an NBA thing. Remember, Kareem and Dr. J each had one. Dirk and Tim Duncan didn't want one. The best farewell for NFL players, it's to win your last game in the Super Bowl, just like John Elway and Peyton Manning did. That would be the perfect way for Aaron Rodgers to go out.
I noticed you didn't include Dwayne Wade in that list of NBA players who got farewell tours. I feel like you don't like him for some reason. Oh. What happened there, Frank? You missed him.
Well, who was that?
Dwayne Wade, he got a farewell tour.
And Kobe kind of got one a little bit.
You think but anyway, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, Frank, I don't even understand what that means. Like, a farewell tour. They're trying to win a Super Bowl with this team, right? Like, what are they going to do? Go from stadium to stadium and say, hey, we're going to see you in a new uniform next year. It's not like he's even going anywhere. I don't know. I don't understand this.
I think he likes creating drama. He created a lot during the offseason. Now it's preseason, and this is what he likes to do. All right, let's go to the big finish. By the way, no errors today, so we cannot blame. But wait, hang on. There is one correction. I said Shohei Ohtani's last pitch last night was 98 miles per hour. It was actually 92. Izzy and Bob Myers both gave me bad information. All right. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Bears quarterback Justin Fields is back at practice and set to play on Saturday. Is that a big deal?
I think so. You got to keep that momentum going. He was looking good. The Jets lost defensive end Carl Lawson for the season after he tore an Achilles in today's practice. Is that significant?
This is big for the Jets and Robert Saleh. He was having a terrific preseason. By the way, the Jets also left their safety, Zane Lewis. All right, Terry Rozier agreed to a 4-year, $97 million extension with the Hornets. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. He can be a real engine on that team next to LaMelo. I mean, he shot 39% from three-point range last year. If he gets any, he continues to be more efficient. I mean, that's a perfect weapon to have there off your bench. And 15-year-old Olivia Moultrie scored her first professional goal last night for the Portland Thorns. 15. You impressed?
Well, first, she accepted a scholarship to North Carolina as an 11-year-old. And by the way, oh, she's 15. She's the future of American soccer. She's 15. So you can go right from being a 15-year-old to playing pro. Why can't you do that in the NBA? Every sport you can do it in. Last one, the Orioles lost their 15th in a row this afternoon. Just brutal. Your thoughts?
You really want thoughts on the Orioles?
Yes, I do.
Struggling right now.
They're 38-82.
If people haven't checked out, they would.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Israel Gutierrez. Thanks for watching. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now here's SportsCenter.
Dwayne Wade had a farewell tour. I missed that one.